Reverend Myron, Reverend Jim, and all of you here present today, thank you. I have to say this. I can feel the love. I've been to 3 masses. And I have to say to you, I don't feel it anyplace else. I have to thank Davis. Where's Davis? Where are you? Where is he? Where are you? He was the one first greeted me when I came yesterday. And the kindness and the love radiates from him. And I'm not just saying that either, because you can feel it. And that's important when we're reading this gospel about servanthood. You gotta feel it. You can't just do it. So I am honored to stand before you. I have to confess, though, I went into a panic because I couldn't find my speech, and I'm like, oh my God. And they had it right in the back, you know? And I'm saying, you don't give a principal, an administrator, a microphone in front of people, and you can just talk about justice. But anyway, here I am, Lord. You are my, I'm your servant, Israel, through whom I show my glory. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. As I reflected on the gospel today, the word servant stood out, and why? I had to really think long and hard about that over this week, because the challenges I was facing, and then how I was feeling, I'm like, okay, what is it? How did I learn servanthood? Certainly through my parents. And my father was Catholic, and my mother was Baptist. So I have to share with you, I know the reason why I went into a panic, because I didn't have my speech, because Catholics have a time frame. With the Baptists, they let the Holy Spirit kind of come in. So that's why I was nervous. It had everything, what am I going to say? Stay on script, don't do this. But I also learned it from a group of women. And I want you to imagine a five-year-old choosing to go to an all-girl Catholic school taught by all black women who were sisters of the Holy Family. I learned servanthood through them. Also, because I grew up in segregation. I grew up in New Orleans, Louisiana. I was fortunate at the time that I went to school in the French Quarters. And Bourbon Street was right there. St. Louis Cathedral was over here. And we went to Mass every day. Do you know, have you ever been to St. Louis Cathedral? The reason why I'm saying this to you is because in the cathedral, that beautiful cathedral, and you go visit in New Orleans, Louisiana, we all had to sit in the back of the church. We were not allowed to sit in the front. And it's the same thing because I grew up in Pontchartrain Park in New Orleans, Louisiana. I know you've heard about that. St. Gabriel the Archangel Church. We had to, the last 3 to 4 rows in the back of the church were relegated for black people only. And if there were spaces, we could not sit. It was against the law. St. Paul the Apostle Church was an all-black Catholic church right across the street. It's on Chef Ventura Highway. It is still there. And the mother house was across the street. Very powerful. also very frightening. And we knew that we should not be sitting in the back of anybody's church. The function of those nuns, and they're still there, and I won't divert too much of the Baptist faith. It was the mission was to educate black women, and they've done so, and they continue to do so. So much so, after Katrina, the bishop asked them to start educating the boys. There were all boy classes there too. Fascinating in terms of the dedication. Now, they just didn't do education. They had an orphanage for children. They had a home, nursing home, where I would visit with my neighbor, Missy, who's no longer with us. And I think about these things, to go to the home because her brother was a boxer. And every Sunday after Mass, we'd go visit her brother. Those images are still powerful to me and still very real. But that's how we lived. When I talk to you later about Dr. King, I'll give you some images I've given my students, but I divert. Because each of us are called during our lifetime to serve God in some capacity, it is with this in mind that I inquired others what it meant to be a servant. What does it mean? Some of the responses I got, and this is meetings I've been going to all week, to help, to assist, not be selfish, to give to others willingly. When I ask who comes to mind, give me some examples of servants. Some said slaves, people of color, waiters, nurses' aides were offered. According to the dictionary, a servant is defined as a person who performs duties, especially a person employed in the house, or domestic duties, or personal attendants. I had two aunts that served in white people's homes daily, and came home to take care of their families. The laundromat, I had an aunt that worked there. In terms of the service that she, they weren't paid a lot of money. And maybe sometimes they weren't paid anything at all, but expectations were there. In the Bible, being God's servant is an honorable position, which includes devotion to God and his mission. When I reflect on the word servant, I believe it requires devotion and sacrifice of which neither thought of or were planned can happen to you. It requires that ultimate sacrifice and in some situations, dedication to a belief or a mission that would require one to lose their friends, family members, or even death. When I listen to the others, they understand the word servant. It involved feeling good, a devotion of service where the two people, there's an exchange of good feelings, and even the person being served feels good, but the person doing the serving also feels good and can make a difference in both the lives. That type of servant I would consider to be a volunteer. Very important. And most of us, I think, tend to serve this way. This week, when I was talking to people about the word service, we were in a meeting. And Hector, who very seldom speaks, starts laughing, gets out of his chair. He said, I remember when I was growing up, the adults used to say, go get me some water. And you had to go and get it. And you didn't say anything. Remember those days? Some of you might. He said, and then they would ask us to massage their feet. Think about it. And then somebody else said, well, it asked us to go get some food or cook the dinner or do something. But you never talked back. You served. So we were laughing about it. And then what, the last one was, can you go get me the remote? You remember those? What is interesting is that could these early duties that we were asked to perform as children be a way to practice servanthood? I mean, think about it that way. I'm a teacher, so I make these connections, whether they're there or not. So, but you think about it. Did we stop doing those things? Is that why people and individuals and the next generation who's probably listening to me not doing some of the things we think they need to do without being asked? Think about it. Is this what's missing? The Lord said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, through whom I show my glory." Now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as a servant from the womb. It means when you are a child, you should be taught these things. And reflecting on the ultimate form of servanthood, that requires unplanned service, a devotion one could not envision, and I recall service made to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivals of Israel. That's a hard task, God. Think about it. You got to raise up a nation. Jesus Christ was the first source and an example to follow of this type of service. I thought about the Christ being in the agony of the garden. Do you think he really wanted to go on somebody's cross for all of us? Really? I thought about him as a human being. During this modern era, we all bore witness to God's call to an ordinary servant, that required ultimate sacrifice of life. I'm going to give you three. And remember, he says to change a nation. Veronica Guerin, old movie. I'm a movie buff, so I might kind of vacillate back and forth. She was called, she was a journalist. And why she continues to come to mind is because I pray for the journalist that somebody chopped up and dismembered. And what we threaten people to tell the truth and what we do to them. Veronica Guerin was Irish. I have to tell you, I'm part Irish. My grandfather's Irish, and his father's full-blooded Irish. So I learned a little bit more, and I'm interested. She was a journalist, writing about stories about drug dealers. This particular day, she found a drug house filled with children taking drugs. It really disturbed her. So she began to write about it. Her family warned her not to. The people she worked with asked her not to, and she did anyway. One of the most powerful scenes in the movie for me, and it sticks in my memory, because remember now, God has called you. I didn't say she was religious. I just said she was called to change a nation. Now, how does a little journalist in a nation of Ireland change a nation? But she was in the bathroom with her husband, sick. And she says, "Don't tell anybody how afraid I am." But she continues to do the work. In the end of the movie, she's murdered. And guess what? Ireland arrested and start to change the drug laws for the families. Powerful movie. I don't want to spoil it too much. You need to see it. Because it's when a person is called to do something, she probably, when she started, didn't think about dying in the end. The second person I'll tell you about, it's one of my favorites because I like boxing. I call him Cassius Clay. I know he's Muhammad Ali. And he fought against the draft. He gave up everything because he believed. Do you remember? Most of you know the story, I'm sure. And you can find out a little bit more details. But it required him to be ostracized by a nation against the war that nobody wanted to participate in. I should interject that my cousin Samuel, he's deceased now, fought in Vietnam. He was 18 when he went over. As a young child, I wrote him a letter every day. Every day. I didn't say I missed the day. Every day he got a letter. And the only reason why I know he kept them all is because when my aunt went to see him because he got sick, she says, "Genau, your letters and your pictures he all kept." That's important. With Dr. King, we watched him on television. And remember, TV, I have to confess, was in black and white. Went off at midnight. Do you remember those days? And to watch him speak. But I grew up in a black community. And the hope that people had that they could be free. Because you see, our restaurants were segregated. Our churches were segregated. As a child, when I got on the bus, I had the colored sign. I really want the colored sign. We had to put it in the bus when we got on, because the bus driver handed you the sign so you can sit behind the sign. The bathrooms had the sign. The water fountains had the sign. And I can tell you, as a kid, we used to look at the look around to see if anybody was watching, because we wanted to go taste the white water to see if it was colder than the black. That's what we did. But to see it every day, to tell you your place, to the point where I talk about birth certificates. My birth certificate, true story. My friend who's a judge, I told her, she says, "Get out, go get it changed." I said, "Judge, what do you want me to change it to? It's an old document." She was so upset because on my birth certificate, which I've kept in my safe deposit box, all and my husband's and him, my mother's, all the people who have gone before me, because I am the matriarch, I guess. They say colored and Negro. So I go to get my passport, and the lady's there, and she's like this, and she keeps rubbing it. I said, "I know it's old, but if they keep rubbing it, the seal's going to come off, and I'd have to go find another one." But she had never seen colored and Negro. Why is that important? Because we stamped at birth. It tells me my place, down to my Social Security number. There is a book called Stamp at Birth. Very important. I want to tell you two more things, because I have to be Catholic and stay within my time frame. Health care. There's a lot of talk about health care. I wrote about this in the Democrat and Chronicle when we had Katrina. In New Orleans, Louisiana, they have Charity Hospital and Tulane University. Did you know that? Charity Hospital for poor and black and white, Tulane for those who have more. When Katrina hit New Orleans, that's a whole other story. They took, this is a true story, I wrote about it. They left the poor and the black people in Charity Hospital on the gurney to die. And the people in Tulane University were all evacuated. People, that's what's going on. Imagine the poor people left on the gurneys to die and no one's there to help them. That's what they did. The United States of America. And you know when Katrina hit. So I wrote the article. Wrong. How do we do that? How do we dismantle something that's systematic? And it's wrong. I'll tell you another story, one more, and then I'll let you go. My husband's in emergency at General Hospital. If you're an employee, don't kill me. So I'm there for a couple hours, but I'm watching this woman stand against the wall in front of a cart. So I kept watching everybody moving back and forth. I go over to her and I said, Miss. Now I'm a describer because she's elderly, heavy, and I look at the feet. So I go to her and I ask her, why can't you sit down? She said, I'm not allowed to. I have to stand here for my 8-hour shift, and then I have to go clean the room and then come back and stand against the wall. How do we allow that? So I call the unions. I'm a complainer, and I don't lust. So I call him. He said, you know, they're not unionized. And I don't think we can do anything about it. Okay. How do you do that? When your challenge, when you go into the community, open your eyes. It talks about in our messages when the blind cannot see. How do we not notice? No one noticed it because I was watching it. No one said a word. We have to. And the last thing I'll leave you, and you can pray for me because my husband asked me, I'll divert. He says, Kendall, do you have to fight for everything? I said, yes. He did. He was upset. Do you have to fight for everything? I hear yelling on the phone. I said, I'm going to continue. I'm not going to stop. So I say, I know you think you married my mother, but you actually married my father, who works for the federal government. But the one thing I want to leave you with several things. But every day, I go to McDonald's. You know? Do you go to McDonald's? Love it. The dollar drinks. Used to take my kids there. I want you to know, I told the group of students that drive-in window, I will never, ever forget. Because in the South, that was the only window that colored people were allowed to go and pick up their food. And we had to walk. We couldn't drive. Many of you don't know that. And that's how I use that as an example, because we take these things we use for other people and they mutate into something else you don't recognize. But I don't want you to forget, drive up that way. I still do it. I know all the people there because they're service workers. They're not making any money. I ask them how their families are. I know what their children do, and we talk. And I make sure they are treated with respect. So I hope you don't look at the drive-in window the same anymore, because that's all I did growing up. Well, I'm going to continue to fight. You may not always see me, but know that I might be there. But I've learned that I am a servant of God, and I will continue to do His will. Thank you.